You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Flash of color. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
North Texas saw more tornadoes last night in the Dallas-Fort Worth suburbs. Buildings were heavily damaged in several areas. Wise County Judge J.D. Clark says residents in the town of Runaway Bay were stunned by the storm's force.
They were describing the change in pressure, and they knew something significant was happening.
He spoke earlier to KDFW. It's the largest auto recall in U.S. history. Takata has agreed to declare nearly 34 million airbags defective because the chemical that inflates them can explode with too much force. There have been 6 deaths and more than 100 injuries. AP correspondent Tom Crisser says fixing the affected automobiles will take time.
Takata can't make 33.8 million airbag inflators very quickly. Honda has enlisted other companies to make airbag inflators, but that company still hasn't been able to get enough to satisfy all of its recalls.
For more information about the cars on the list, go to usaheadlinenews.com and click on the link. This is USA Headline News.
Kid, let me paint you a picture. Tuesday night, your cog belt goes bust. Who will help you get what you need fast without the hoops, hurdles, or headaches? Granger, that's who. I love Granger. They got a wide variety of products and solutions. Granger makes it easy to get everything we need and answers for when we're not sure what the answer is. Now, kid, let me paint you another picture. It looks like a mop, a basement bathroom, and you all over it. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgranger.com or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Federal prosecutors in the George Washington Bridge lane closing scandal want evidence kept under wraps. AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
Two former aides to New Jersey Governor Chris Christie faced trial in November on charges they used the nation's busiest bridge in a political retribution scheme. Prosecutors are obliged by the rules of evidence to share whatever they unearth with the defense. The government has asked the court for a protective order on its evidence, meaning defense lawyers can see it, but if they want to make any of it public, for instance, to file a motion, they'd have to seek special permission from the court. Prosecution says disclosing some of the 1.5 million pages it has could reveal personal information about people not charged in the case. The governor was not indicted. I'm Warren Levinson.
U.S. intelligence officials have released more than 100 documents seized in the raid on Osama bin Laden's compound, including a love letter to his wife and a job application for his terrorist network. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence says the papers were taken in the Navy SEALs raid that killed bin Laden in Pakistan in 2011. Some of the questions include, what objectives would you like to accomplish on your jihad path? Do you wish to execute a suicide operation? And who should we contact in case you become a martyr? A man is suing Bluebell, claiming he contracted listeria-related meningitis after eating ice cream produced by the company in 2013. David Philip Shockley says he was hospitalized with respiratory failure and septic shock after eating Bluebell products. He suffered brain damage and now lives with relatives in Maryland. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Do you want to lose the weight or keep it off for the rest of your life? There is a difference. My name is Dawn Moore. I am a certified health coach who uses a Take Shape for Life approach to help my clients lose weight, eat healthy, and live longer. Call me at 908-303-5334 or email me Dawn@moreandbetterhealth.com, your prescription for living a healthy, energetic, and intentional life.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All right. Hello out there. It's Talented People. It's 3:06 already on May 20th. I hope you're having a great day and a great month. I'm going to give you a quick update. I'm Jeannie Murphy, the host of the show, on the detailed forecast if you happen to be listening in the central New Jersey area today. Tonight, increasing clouds, low with a low about 42, northwest wind 5 to 9 miles per hour. Thursday, a chance of showers, mainly between 2 and 5 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 64. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers before 11 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 45. Friday is mostly sunny with a high near 74, and then mostly clear Friday night with a low about 44. Saturday, sunny with a high of 70, and mostly clear with a low around 47 on Saturday night. This is exciting for the holiday weekend, and then partly sunny with a high of near 76 on Sunday, with a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a low of only about 57 on Sunday night, and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high of 79 on Memorial Day, but there's only 30% chance of that. And then Monday night, chance of showers, mostly cloudy, low of 62. So for the next couple days, it looks like it's going to be really nice out. So I hope you're going to be able to enjoy it. Our guest today on the show, his name is Dan Minoli, and you probably know him because he's been on the show a couple times now, probably close. This is probably the third. And he is the principal consultant, DBI Communications in New York City. They're full-service IT, telecom, wireless, cloud, security, infrastructure, audio, visual, and intellectual property consultancy. Since their launch in 1978, right in the heart of the Wall Street, DBI has supported hundreds of marquee firms in dozens of industries with the assessment, design, and implementation of their IT, telecom, outsourcing, and security needs, including planning, analysis, design, engineering, acquisition, deployment, administration, and system management. Dan, I'm going to tell everybody a little bit more about you in a bit, but how about, we keep hearing about that the Internet of Things is coming and exploding on the scene. Exactly what is the Internet of Things? And to answer that question, we brought you on to the show.
Well, Jenny, thank you for inviting me to talk about this evolving and really present topic. Really, the proliferation of this ever-growing set of devices out there that are able to be connected to the Internet is leading to what people view as a ubiquitous computing paradigm. Effectively, that's kind of the Internet of things, actually. So indeed, you know, we've seen the Internet evolved from its beginning back in the late 60s, early 70s, four decades ago, actually. So evolving from a network of a few hundred hosts at universities, and that was kind of the old ARPANET, to a platform that is capable of linking billions of entities globally. Initially, the Internet connected large computers and accredited terminals that could be used by academia using special equipment, special gateways. More recently, as we all know, the Internet has connected servers of all kinds to users of all kinds, seeking access to information and application of all kinds. And then we all know what social media is, which is effectively connecting all sorts of people to people and people to virtual communities.
Mm-hmm.
The growth of Internet, though, shows no signs of slowing down. You know, we talked about these evolutions, but now we're kind of getting to the next opportunity or the next level or the next big thing. This evolution is to connect things, objects, that either have or will soon have an embedded wireless connectivity capability such that these devices can either be controlled remotely or they can basically collect data and pass this data up for further analysis, for further decision-making and remote actuation, even where basically these things can be made to do something. This is really a revolutionary concept when one thinks about it, because these things, in quotes, things are not only limited to machineries, home appliances, vehicles, people, pets, cattle, animals, habitats, enterprises. So it's really going to be a major new phase or evolution of the environment where basically everything's connected. In fact, Cisco, who's a major provider of internet equipment that have been around for, you know, many, many years, they have a lot of advertising on television, and they call this thing the Internet of Everything, mm-hmm. kind of playing a little bit on the word of thing. Effectively, we're going to connect everything that is out there to be remotely accessible or remotely programmable. And these things can have any kind of form factors, any sizes, any capabilities. It could include sensors, tags, and other things. So that sets a little bit the background on what the Internet of Thing is. So the idea is to enhance a traditional internet to create an intelligent environment of objects. These objects have or will soon have microprocessors, take a washing machine, take a thermostat with wireless links. So the idea of this Internet of Things, or IoT as it also is known, aims at basically closing the gap between objects in the material world and the data that they contain, to close a gap to basically management systems that can either control these devices or collect the data that comes from these devices. So it's viewed as a new application that will basically gather the data available from these devices and make them available on a global scale. I can give you one example to give this point about global scale. For example, meters for electric supply of your power in your house have and will soon have these Internet of Things devices such that the electric company can potentially control usage. So, for example, on a brownout day, they could kind of globally throughout a town or an area just simply kind of throttle back the usage. So that's an example where these devices are spread out in the environment. They all send back data. For example, they could be sending back data on usage, and the company that controls these devices can then in a global way instruct the devices to take some actions, for example, to throttle back the use of power. Again, so the IoT has two attributes, being an internet application, namely the internet is the method of basically moving the data around without having to set up a whole separate dedicated network by using what is already out there, which is the internet, and then basically sharing that information that this thing or set of objects has. This term Internet of Things was coined about a decade ago by Kevin Ashton, and things are also known as object, devices, end nodes, remotes, remote sensors. I want to read you a recent quote that was posted by the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers about a year ago, and they were actually looking for some papers for a conference. But I'm going to read this because I think it's kind of an eye-opener.
It says, no, go ahead. I want to hear it.
The Internet of Things promises to be the most disruptive technology since the advent of the web. Projections indicate that up to 100 billion uniquely identifiable objects will be connected to the Internet by the year 2020. But human understanding of the underlying technology has not kept pace. So that's why we are here today to talk about it, because we don't appreciate what this is going to do for us. It's going to be really a major revolution, so to speak. And to continue reading, this creates a fundamental challenge to researchers with enormous technical, social, economic, political, and even spiritual consequences. IoT is just one of the most significant emerging trends in technology. So that was a quote from the IEEE, which is a well-known entity, you know, in this space. And the idea is to make these sensors fairly inexpensive, you know, adding a little bit of intelligence in any device, whether it be, again, a refrigerator or a thermostat, you name it.
So, like, as an example, if I were to buy, like, over the years we've seen dishwashers and washers and dryers and everything else change, like, even for the rollout, and it looks different as a dishwasher, but you're saying that it's going to have other special bells and whistles on it that do things that they're going to upcharge for that are, as from the consumer side, I mean, it's certainly it's an advancement, but is it going to be like where I remember there were pictures, and they became digital pictures. But in the meantime, they had like the camcorders, and they were like $1,000. Now you can't even get them for $5 at a garage sale because they make it look really sexy and stuff. But at the end of the day, this is all going to be normal, right?
Precisely. You mentioned, for example, a washing machine that already has some smarts. It has a microprocessor in it to control the machine and to do the right cycle and
like
so forth.
Like it knows
but
where...
But the idea is to now have connectivity so that you can remotely control, for example, your washing machine. And maybe it does a readout to automatically order detergent when the machine runs out, or if it needs maintenance or it sees something going wrong, the belt is getting loose on the machine or whatever, that it will send out automatically a request through the internet to the manufacturer to maybe send you a replacement card.
Wow. I know. We have to go to our break real quick. We're running a little bit behind on this first segment by a minute and a half. So we're going to go to our break. This is Talented People. My guest today is our repeats expert, the author of just about 60 books plus and 160 patents. And his name is Danielle Minoli. And I just love him because he's so smart and brings us all this information ahead of time. So I'm trying to share it with you because it is fascinating. And we'll be right back. Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy right after this break. Stay with us.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend and
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Huntington County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Huntington on huntertonchamberradio.com. Like what you hear on Huntington Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Huntington Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the huntertonchamberradio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in the Hunterdon and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Welcome back to Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Hope you're having a great day. It's 3:24 on May 20th, and I'm having a conversation with our author many times over, Dan Minoli. He's the principal consultant of DBI Communications in New York City. And we're talking about, we have his book in hand here. It's called Building the Internet of Things. And then there goes on from that title onward. You can look it up on the internet if you like. It's Minoli, M-I-N-O-L-I. You'll find about 60 books from him. But we're talking about the internet and the way things are changing in just a short 5 years, but 2020. There's so many expectations and changes that are happening. Dan's sharing them with us right now. So Dan, before the break, you were talking about things like the way that the future of wireless is going to be happening over the internet. Can you give us some examples?
Yes, Jenny, of course. I do want to say, though, even though my work is cited in 160 patents, but I did not write 160 patents. So just to be clear, I do have...
I'm still impressed. 160 patents and having any relevance to you is incredible.
Did they cite my work? And I do have three provisional patents, like they say, patent pending.
Okay.
Some of which relate to the Internet of Things. But so the Internet of Things is a broad term, and it's, you're going to see it more and more and more often as time goes by, that defines this emerging world of connected devices. That's kind of the takeaway. So the IoT is everything that communicates over the Internet that happens to be not a computer, not a phone, or not a tablet. So if it's not one of those three that we normally use like that we've kind of gotten used to be connected to the Internet, if you kind of discount those three. Everything else will be an element of that Internet of Things. Now, we can still use our computer, phone, or tablet to control one of those devices. But, for example, the Internet of Things can include a smart oven, as an example, you can program remotely, an MRI machine that orders its own repairs, or a light bulb or an outlet that you control with an application, for example, turning a light on and off and so forth, or a smart device in the home, workplace, or wherever. At the low end, we find things such basically your RFID or your unique identification codes that pretty much now it's connected to kind of everything you buy at these different box stores. So, in fact, Walmart had indicated to its supplier going back to 2006 that effective January 1, 2006, everything that they purchased had to be basically RFID tagged. So with this electronic tag so that one can do better logistics and provisioning and so on. So that's one example at the low end of what the Internet of Things is, and that was kind of an early manifestation. The smart cards, which are also called SCs or smart cards, are also becoming important. That could incorporate a little bit more intelligence than one of these tags that we often find when you check something out and then you go to the door and the alarm goes off because the RFID wasn't deactivated. But the smart card actually includes a microprocessor and some storage. So that will be kind of the next thing up. And in this Internet of Things, IoT, by the way, which is a generic term, manifests itself in a specific technology that has already been out there for a number of years called M2M. M, the number 2M, and it stands for machine to machine. Effectively, where machines talk to other machines. And you might have seen yourself, for example, a while back that maybe a soda dispenser, like a kiosk, basically is going to back order some replacement drinks because, it ran out. So that's an example of a machine talking to a machine, and it's kind of part of this Internet of Things. At the mid-range, because I mentioned the low end with these RFID tags, at the mid-range, you find embedded intelligence in microprocessor in a variety of data gathering and control function. For example, biomedical sensors, home appliances, power management, and industrial control. Those are kind of in that mid-range of these applications. At the high end of the range, there are things connected to what are called wireless sensor networks. Basically, are, as the word says, wireless networks. They may typically span a city. For example, they could be weather stations throughout a city, or environmental monitor of chemical pollution potentially, or environmental monitoring of pollen count or whatever. But it's something that's spread out of a whole city or ambience. So these tend to be more at the higher end also because this data funnels into some centralized computer or set of computers or servers that does a lot of kind of heavy-duty analysis. So a lot of industry will effectively be impacted by this Internet of Things. It includes manufacturing with kind of robotic things can be controlled remotely, healthcare in particular, cars, energy, to just mention a few. So again, other applications, because you're asking me for applications, it really runs the gamut. It will be the application, the appliances we just talked about, the smart electric grids we also talked about, where the electric company can set that.
Incredible.
Air conditioning, building automation, ventilation, meter reading so that the meters can be read remotely if you're not home, residential and commercial controls of lighting, security. It just goes on and on. For example, Cisco, and then you might have actually seen some advertisement on TV, basically they're proposing to use this technology to do traffic management. You might have seen some of those funny commercials they have where they have the frozen people. It says, traffic jams are a thing of the past. Well, I don't know. Frankly, there are always going to be accidents and traffic jams. But according to them, and in fact, IoT can actually better direct and control traffic or, for example, provide a workaround to traffic.
Well, that stuff makes total sense. I mean, all of it makes sense, but it's frightening is to think about the privacy issues and so on, but I want you to go ahead and add on factories and infrastructure.
Factories, infrastructure, supply chains, the transportation in the sense of driverless cars that we kind of see a lot around it. So MTM is, which is actually an early manifestation of this Internet of Things, is a set of standards that have actually been developed in Europe by ETSI, the European Standards. Well, it's a standard-making organization out of Europe.
But you say that like even Walmart has had these expectations of their vendors since 2006, 9 years ago?
Right, but beginning at the low end with controlling pretty much logistics or knowing when the products get sold without the scanners and so on.
Incredible. Incredible. So do you want to talk about how big the market is?
Well, as we indicated and as we read the quote from before, it's going to impact an entire gamut of industries. So it's by 2011, there were 7 billion people on Earth and 60 billion machines. By 2025, forecasts are that there will be a trillion devices connected.
A trillion devices?
A trillion, right. General Electric, and I'm going to quote you one line here from General Electric, says that this technology's potential impact spans almost half of the global economy and could drive the next wave of innovation in the world. So, again, General Electric, big company. They feel, they see what this could do for the industry. Cisco calls it a $19 trillion opportunity.
Opportunity is right, yes.
And it goes on and on. And that may be just one quote that came out just last year from a company called MarketResearch.com. They say the Internet of Things and machine-to-machine communication market is expected to grow from $128 billion today of total service and equipment and so forth to basically half a trillion by 2019 with a compound growth of 25% a year. So then this is of interest not only to technical people that might actually want to potentially pursue some kind of, you know, career opportunity, but even to investors, because it's going to be some view it as kind of a next wave of the dot-com days, mm-hmm. and some companies are going to make out big, and some people who pick the right company could, in fact, make out well. But nobody knows who this week are going to be, which companies are going to ultimately be the big breakthroughs.
Well, it sounds also like those entrepreneurials and inventors, that not just the investors, but the inventors and those who have maybe had products in their mind or created them or have them in the marketplace or even had never gotten that far can now take a look at this opportunity and integrate it with theirs. We have to go to our quick break. It's Talented People. It's already 3:33 on May 20th. Hope you're having a great day. We're going to run real quick to the short break, and then we're going to come back and continue our conversation about where the internet is going. And it's going fast, so stay with us.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Attorney General Loretta Lynch made an announcement this morning where big banks will be paying $2.5 billion in fines.
This Department of Justice intends to vigorously prosecute all those who tilt the economic system in their favor, who subvert our marketplaces, and who enrich themselves at the expense of the American consumer.
The four banks are JPMorgan Chase, Citigroup, Barclays, and the Royal Bank of Scotland. Members of Congress are calling on the president to come up with a new set of war powers to fight ISIS. The group seized Ramadi over the weekend, but the White House is downplaying it.
We're going to have days of progress and periods of setback.
But Texas Congressman Mike McCall disagrees.
To say that we're on the offensive and ISIS is on the defense is absolutely incredulous. They have taken over Ramadi. The black flags are flying there now, and this is a key transit point between Syria in Iraq, and now it's fallen to ISIS.
He spoke earlier on Fox News. This is USA Headline News.
Hi, here's your delivery from Staples.com.
Thanks, Staples guy. My office is starving. Got any snacks?
Staples has pretzels, granola bars, energy bars, trail mix, all at a low price.
Nuts?
Cashews, almonds, pistachios, pecans, walnuts.
Chips?
Potato chips, corn chips, whole grain chips, gluten-free chips.
Whoa, that's a lot of snacks.
We also have antacids. Tablet antacids, liquid antacids.
Make on budget happen, make break time happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get a 42-ounce bag of M&M's milk chocolate or peanut candy for just $8.99.
Offer valid on SKU 689508 and 689504 and 523 while supplies last. See store staples.com for details.
Bunnies in the garden.
Yeah, rabbits are cute. Squirrels too. Till they ruin your garden, feasting on your plants. Get yourself some Ortho Animal Be Gone. Animal Be Gone uses ingredients that little critters are naturally repelled by, but it won't hurt them. And the no stink formula works without smelling horrible. Animal Be Gone from Ortho. We don't hurt them. We just chase them. Guaranteed. Learn more about how Animal Beacon lives up to its name at ortho.com. Use only as directed.
Okay, welcome back to the show. We're talking about the Internet of Things and the future of the Internet, where it's going with wireless and remotes and all kinds of things by our expert and authority, Dan Minoli. Dan, before we went to the break, you were just about to start to talk about the taxonomy of things. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yes, we talked about a lot of applications, and potentially somebody could say it's all over the map, but actually it could be taxonomized in as follows. There is the human-to-machine H2M, it's known, and then there is the machine-to-machine. So these are kind of categories of the Internet of Things. Now, when I talk about the thing, for example, human, then one can see that it could be stationary. The human could be stationary, for example, could be sitting at a desk, as an example, or local mobility or full mobility. And then the thing in turn, the thing itself, the machine, could be stationary, some mobility, or full mobility. Let me give an example. Say we're talking about humans who are stationary and the target is stationary. Well, the example could be access a home thermostat from an office PC. You're sitting there, then now I want to talk to the thing, which is my thermostat or my washing machine. Now let me give another example. The human is stationary, but the target is some local mobility. For example, I could be monitoring a pet from my office. For example, I could have a chip on the pet, and I want to see what the kind of cat is doing at home when I'm not there. Or to rewind again, the thing could be stationary. The thing is the human being, which is stationary, and the remote thing could have full mobility. So, for example, I could access I could be stationary, so I'm sitting on a PC, but I could access a GPS device on a teenager's car from my office PC.
And they have that now.
To see it, right.
Yeah.
But it would become more ubiquitous. It would be standard, it would be in every car or whatever. So those are just some examples. Then I could go to the case where the thing has some mobility, that thing here being the human, and then the remote thing has all three categories you just mentioned before. So let's take a case where the thing, which is the human in this case, has a local mobility, and the device is stationary. So I could be basically, I could be driving home, and I want to access my thermostat because I'm going to be late, and so I'm going to put off heating up the house. Or I could be, to the full example of something that is mobile, I could be in a car and monitoring the teenager's GPS. So you can see it's every possible combination. Again, it could be full mobility on the human and full mobility on the thing. And then we can go down to the machine-to-machine, the same exact thing. For example, there could be a machinery, without getting into full taxonomy, but it could be, for example, maybe an earth mover or something. And I, as a manager, may want to look into that earth mover. Somebody's working in building a building, and I want to see what's going on and get some information about the temperature of the oil or whatever. So effectively, we're going to put a microprocessor into everything that is out there, and then we're going to talk to these
devices. I'm terrified. I really am. I'm thinking about, like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like all good, but you know, I don't want people knowing that much about everything that we do, right?
Well, that's the wave of the future.
I know. I guess got to get used to it.
But that's a lot of people,
you're on the show here today, huh?
A lot of people already know a lot about us as individuals because sometimes we just open up the kimono when we are on the internet. But,
right.
But in the future, the machines are also going to participate, and they're going to participate more globally. But also it's important to note, and this is something I'm going to just throw in kind of on the fly here, is that what really led to the big wave of the web was the availability of standards so that we could all get to this data servers the same way, whether I'm trying to get to GM, whether I'm trying to get to you name it, you know, Amazon.com, whether I want to get to Barnes & Noble, whatever I want to do, but it's the same protocols on the browser. That's really what kind of opened up the internet beginning in the early 1990s. Without those standards, and for people who were around before, you could get the data, but there were no global standards. So whenever you got the data, if it was a government type of network, you did it one way. If it was a certain group of universities, you did it another way. If you were to try to get the Canadian universities, you did it a different way. So the standards were opened up and made the internet what it is. The same applies here. You mentioned there are some things that are connected, but everything uses a different standard. Once we're going to get to a global standard, and there will be some microcode or microchip. Then you just buy the protocol effect without having the developer to develop the capability.
Well, that reminds me of like when, you know, just 5 years ago, especially 16 or whatever, but if you wanted to have a website, you had to hire a programmer, they had to build code and all the stuff. And now you just buy a box, you know, or download something and you can have your website built or whatever. Right. So in a big picture, but like who owns that? Who owns those standards? Like, and are you licensing them? Like,
there are industry groups that are developing these standards, and what's going to be a big impetus is going to be the standardization. Mm-hmm. The technology usually comes along before standardization. Then you have people that get together and agree to a certain set of standards. Mm-hmm. And from that, it opens up the avalanche. In fact, some of the enabling technologies mm-hmm. are already standardized. For example, there are things called personal area networks or PANs. For example, Bluetooth, as we all know.
I've heard of that.
That's an example of
even
a
I have heard of that. That's good.
The IEEE 802.15.4. Then you have the wireless local area networks. You have the 3G and 4G, for example, LTE, the long-term evolution, because some of these sensors can be used in cellular to communicate. Then Metro Ethernet, MPLS, VPN. Those are some technologies already evolving, and they represent the foundation. But more additional protocols are going to be needed. In particular, and I don't know if you have time to talk about it here, but I will talk about it after the break if necessary.
If you want
it,
you have 3 minutes.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. The fact that we all heard that we're running out of IP addresses because we're using what is called IP version 4, and maybe we can come in and do another show on this. But the next generation of IP is called IP version 6. Frankly, it's been around for a number of years, but hasn't really rolled out as of yet because companies have found a way to basically stash or reuse addresses. And so you can kind of get away a little bit with IPv4, but eventually if you want to give an address to each device out there, you're going to need IPv6. And in fact, many of you in this IoT as the killer application, the killer app for IPv6, because you want every one of those devices to have its own private addressable address. Because you cannot talk to one of those things remotely if you don't have a name and address, so to speak.
Absolutely. I think a lot of our listeners out there don't even understand what an IP address is. So I think it's important for them.
Every computer today has an IP address to talk to it. But it could be a registered legal IP address that is assigned by the internet entities, or it's something you assign yourself, like a 192.58.9.0.1.
I thought ours was like given to us by our like Comcast or something, because all I know is you can look up IP addresses now too.
That's true, but it would only be assigned to you on a temporary basis, on a leased basis. Namely, if you don't use it, if you, for example, have an account with your internet provider and you go on vacation, that IP address is going to be taken away from you and given to somebody else. It's called DHCP or dynamic host.
No, that is a whole other conversation. Yeah. We have to talk about that.
But maybe the takeaway is that IPv4, which we had forever since 1982, it's been running out of address space. There are only 16 billion potential addresses, versus with IPv6, we have 10 to the 34. I basically call it zillion. I don't even know what that would be, 10 to the 34 versus billion, 10 to the 9 to the power.
Incredible. All right, so that is so interesting. That is a nice takeaway. Right in time for our break. So it's Talented People. Dan Minoli is my guest here in studio. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. Crime Stoppers of Hunterdon County and the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce are offering a free seminar, Keeping Your Business Safe, on Tuesday, April 28th at 5:30 at the Historic Courthouse in Flemington. This program will include a presentation by Prosecutor Anthony Kearns and then an in-depth discussion by the FBI about physical security and identity theft. followed by presentations on cloud security. Registration is free, but please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-782-3909 to register today.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Are you tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today.
Okay, we're back here at Talented People in the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce radio station studio. We appreciate having this opportunity to stream live across the nation and to talk to you about the internet and the future of the internet with our guest today, Dan Minoli. Before we went to the break, Dan, you were just going to give us some examples of this whole vertical industries and the future of the internet and so on. Can you help us out here and give us some specifics?
Well, Jeannie, I could actually take up the whole hour just talk about these various applications. I'm going to try to kind of zip through because I want to get to some important quotes at the end here. But again, as we said from those quotes and from what we've been communicating here, said it covers the entire gamut of things. For example, things on the move, retail, mobile health, energy, public infrastructure, intelligent homes, and I could just go down a list actually out of my book here, smart appliances, efficient appliances, ubiquitous readers, smart transportation, smart living, kind of the thermostat thing and whatever, the air quality, humidifier, you name it, security-based living where you have, your monitoring of your house security remotely, advanced metering infrastructure where the energy company can give you better rates. For example, you may be running a washing machine during the day. The system can say, shut it down, and why don't you turn it up in the middle of the night? It'll be a lot cheaper and so forth. Energy recycling, authentication, trust and verification, and it could kind of goes on from there. Again, it could be in real estate applications, in safety, we mentioned before. I just read one example of safety we mentioned in the home. Home fire safety systems, home environmental safety system, for example, for carbon monoxide, remote telemetry, video in the home, oversight of children, and on and on. So rather than to go on forever with these applications, what I actually like to do is to cite for you, Jeannie, an application that I just read the other day, because I know you're a gourmet cook. Mm-hmm. And I have something special just for you. When I saw that, I said, this is for Jeannie. It appeared in Network World, which is a trade press here, you can get on the internet, you know, May 4th. It was entitled IKEA is hoping the new intuitive and unobtrusive technology will augment the kitchen of the future. And so it says, I'm just going to read a couple of quick things from the article. IKEA's future kitchens include network devices. So we're talking about Internet of Things.
Yes.
Shelves that act as refrigerators, tabletops that cook, and instant food delivery by drone.
Oh, IKEA, my goodness.
IKEA's been displaying some of its concept at the 2015 Milan Design Week in Italy and has opened up a temporary pop-up shop to display these ideas that they claim will be running in 2025.
Which is only 9 years away.
The sensors, so I'm just reading from the article here. First up, the kitchen table will sense the food being placed on its surface. And although it won't automatically cook it for you, it will tell you how to do it, including letting you know what you're missing to do some, you know, recipe.
It has flavor sensors?
If you're missing finely smoked oregano or whatever, it will be done by drone instantly. That's 2025 for you, so maybe it's a little bit of those Flintstones.
Oh, my gosh. My son will be happy because I keep sending him out all the time.
A camera and projector is positioned above the table. And induction coils underneath the table will basically cook the food. Networked together, they allow the systems to recognize objects in their movement and to project it on a display. You'll be able to charge devices simply by placing them on the table.
So cool.
Composting, it mentions here, then, and so on. So it just goes on, and maybe folks want to read up on this. It's a dream, really, because it's a bit far-fetched, but again,
I can see it.
As you know it, they say that reality first comes with the dream. You have to first dream it, and then it becomes a reality.
Well, there's no reason that why would you have to have a phone charger and plug it into this if there was a reason that this was already a phone charger? You're just sitting, it's almost like a docking station. I mean, that can't be that hard to do. It's kind of cool. I get it's a little tough to figure out that it's missing oregano, but I'll take that. Drone, go get it. Okay, go on.
So at this point, perhaps we can wrap up with a few quotes. I have here a few quotes from the literature that I'd like to maybe read just because I want to give a sense to our audience that it's something that the industry players are recognizing as important. I'm going to read you one here. It says, RFID and related identification technology will be the cornerstone of our coming Internet of Things. We mentioned that before. While RFID was initially developed with retail and logistic applications in mind, in order to replace their old barcode, developments of active components will make this technology much more than a simple identification scheme. In the not-too-distant future, it can be expected that a single number scheme, such as IPv6 that we mentioned, will make every single object identifiable and addressable, because we cannot do that today with IPv4.
Mm-hmm.
Smart components will be able to execute different sets of actions according to the surroundings and the tasks they're designed for. There will not be a limit on action operations these smart things will be able to perform. For instance, devices will be able to direct their transport, adapt to their respective environments, self-configure, self-maintain, self-repair, and eventually even play an active role in their own disposal. To reach such a level of ambient intelligence, however, major technological innovations development need to take place. And then it talks about governance, namely maybe there is some kind of ethics about it, you know, that what do we do with this technology? Standardization that I mentioned before and interoperability are absolute necessities on the path forward for the vision of things to communicate with each other. Then I want to quote you another one here. We got a couple minutes. It says the M2M evolution. It's in a perfect storm of technology adoption. M2M is leveraging modern internet technologies and infrastructure with mature IT middleware and solutions to address the enterprise's desire for better utilization of assets and associated information. Another quick quote here, M2M is poised to become an integral part of the telecoms landscape with potentially transformative impact on a vast number of industries, with an equally vast number of services and applications to monetize. I mentioned that before, that, you know, it kind of runs the gamut, and I could go on and on. And then maybe one more quote here. The IoT makes possible for virtually any object around us to exchange information and work in synergy to increase quality of our life. There are smart clothes that interact with the intelligent and climate control in the car and the home. For example, going to a car, you have a coat on and it feels warm. Well, maybe they can automatically turn off the car thermostat as an example. Also, smart books will interact with entertainment devices such as TV in order to elaborate on the topic they're reading. And maybe just one final quote that I had put together here had to do with who are some of these players in the business. So obviously you have people like GE, we mentioned before, Honeywell, Emerson, Texas Instruments, Fujitsu. They're all developing kind of the chipsets and so on. Then there are going to be some other smaller players, maybe we don't recognize the names, but they're basically doing the component level, like ARM Ltd., Nest Labs, Rockwell Automation, Axeda Corporation, Cisco that we mentioned, and a few more. Again, we're not recommending them, but just mentioning as an example of people who said, well, who's doing this work?
I was just going to ask you that, so I'm so glad you brought that up.
But there was an article recently in Motley Fool, which you probably know, it's kind of an investment magazine, and it was saying, how can we make money with this Internet of Thing? I mentioned before that maybe it's going to be like a next wave of companies, and the Motley Fool was saying that companies such as Microsoft, Apple, and Google are best positioned to really be players because they already have these operating systems, and these devices obviously need an operating system to really do what they're supposed to do. However, there are going to be smaller companies that are going to emerge, and one of these days, if we had picked the right company, maybe we would all be sitting in Tahiti instead of being sitting in Flemington, even though it's a nice place to be.
It's nice, but not that nice. I'm all with you. I want to figure out how to be one of those people.
So we at DVI Communications are focusing on energy-related applications of the IoT, including smart lighting and data center infrastructure management, DISM or green IT, which you mentioned in one of the other shows here.
Mm-hmm. So fascinating.
And we will be glad to assist interested parties to learn more about what the IoT can do for them, including reducing costs and improving productivity. So, give us a call and we'll be glad to help. Because, as I mentioned before, it's not only for the consumer, but it's also for enterprises, because the idea is to get better utilization of assets and also to control energy consumption as well as managing waste and all sorts of other things. So really, it's going to be an all-encompassing technology. It's going to be kind of another next level of automation.
Yes, and lifestyle change, the way we will live. Exactly. All right, again, this is Jeannie Murphy's Talented People. It's 3:58. We just ended our show with our guest, the principal consultant at DVI Communications in New York City, Dan Minoli. Thank you so much again for being here, Dan.
My pleasure.
And again, every time you come on, we learn so much more about things that are happening that we should be involved with that we don't even know are happening. I can tell you that. So again, thank you for being here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right, well, we're going to our break right now. We're going to go to the news and weather, and then we'll be back with our second hour of Talented People today. It is May 20th, about 3:58 in the afternoon, and we're going to have Unity Bank on. We're going to talk about how good and the work they're doing in the community here in all about 8 communities and counties, I think, in the state of New Jersey. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.